C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, August 26th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. During the pandemic, city dwellers have moved in droves to the suburbs in search of more space. But people already in homes where they've been cooped up for the past year and a half have also sought ways to add more living space without moving. Many have turned to the garage.
We've seen things from ceramic studios, art studios, a lot of gyms. It sort of seems like anything you can think of, people have turned their garages into during this pandemic.
So if you have a garage that you're thinking of repurposing, what should you keep in mind before getting started? And how will it affect your home's value? WSJ Mansion reporter Candace Taylor has been looking into this, and she'll join us to discuss after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Over the past year and a half, our homes have become our office, our gym, our childcare center, our hobby area. But as people only have so much space in the house, many have renovated the garage to create more space for activities. Sounds ideal, but it can also get expensive. Candace Taylor writes for the WSJ's Mansion section. She's been talking to people who've done various degrees of renovation on their garages, and she's here to talk about it. Candace, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Candace, why the garage? Why are so many people doing renovations there in particular?
Well, since the pandemic started, we've all been a little stir crazy at times. And it seems like people's garages are sort of a big focus of a lot of the renovation projects that are going on. One of the things I learned in reporting this story is a lot of people have garages that they don't use for parking. During the pandemic, a lot of people realized, hey, I have this available space that I'm not maximizing. Let's do something creative with it. A lot of these garage conversions ended up being a safe way for people to entertain friends and family during the pandemic, especially during the early part when, you know, people weren't vaccinated and you didn't feel safe being indoors. A lot of these garages really lent themselves to being able to socialize because you could open the garage door, right? Or you could open the windows. And so you wouldn't be just out in the elements, but you'd have enough air circulation that you felt like it was okay to have a drink with a friend. And a lot of folks told me that that was sort of a lifesaver for people during the pandemic, just being able to come together at a time when everybody was sort of trapped in their houses.
Okay, so what kind of improvements are they making?
Well, we are seeing all kinds of things. People, you know, ranging from just an accessory dwelling unit with another bedroom, maybe for mom or the adult kids, to the very practical, you know, home office, right, which we all need right now, or place for kids to do remote school. But some people are getting really creative. A lot of people have made bars in their garages. I guess the pandemic just brought that out in people. But we've seen things from ceramic studios, art studios, a lot of gyms. It sort of seems like anything you can think of, people have turned their garages into during this pandemic.
You know, Candace, like any home renovation, this can get expensive. And people probably need to weigh costs, like whether to hire an architect or take this on as a do-it-yourself project, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've seen a broad range of different things people are doing. You know, one person that I interviewed, you know, he spent $150,000 to totally redo the building. His garage was a separate building, and he just basically redid everything in the building, made it into this amazing art studio, but also made it look really beautiful on the outside, and it really fits in well with his property. You know, and they hired professionals to do that, obviously. But I've also spoken to people who just, you know, were kind of bored during lockdown and just put a little elbow grease in and learned how to do some home improvement stuff on YouTube and, you know, kind of did a lot of it themselves. And one thing that's nice about a garage, one person told me, is there's not as much pressure if you're doing it yourself than if you're remodeling your house, because the idea is it's just your garage, right? So if you mess it up, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Now, how about local ordinances? How should people factor those kinds of rules and requirements into their plans?
Well, for sure, you have to check before you do anything. Absolutely check your local zoning. You know, if you're just putting a TV in your garage, you should be fine. But anything that involves significant renovation, you definitely need to check the zoning. But there are places where what we call an accessory dwelling unit is allowed. For example, in the state of California, every homeowner has the right to create an accessory dwelling unit on their property. That means another living space. That's allowed by right. So you certainly want to check into that.
Okay, so people are ripping up their garages. Where does that leave their cars?
That was a question that I had because I was thinking if I had a garage here in Brooklyn, I would never want to give it up. But apparently, a lot of people have garages that they basically just use for storage in a lot of different parts of the country. And this stems from a lot of cities have off-street parking requirements. And in places, they have requirements for covered parking, right? And yet, what we're finding is with today's cars being pretty durable, you don't really have to store your car in a covered garage, especially if you're in warm weather. I mean, it's one thing if you get a lot of snowstorms, right? Or you want to have the car be protected. But for a lot of people, they really don't feel like they need that. So they're happy to just park their car in their driveway and use the garage for other stuff, especially given how expensive housing is right now, right? And the housing market has been crazy for the past year. So people would rather use that garage square footage for living space or home office space or a gym or whatever it is, rather than for their cars.
All right, so let's talk about return on investment. You've spoken to people who've done renovations on their garages. Are they concerned that renovations could affect their home resale value? Like, you know, the house will not have a functioning garage, or at least in the traditional sense for parking their car.
A lot of people are totally fine just parking their cars in the driveway. So it's not as much of a factor as you might think in certain areas. Now, if you're in Chicago in the winter, it might be a different story, right? Where you probably want to have a garage. But the other thing that I've found is a lot of people have garages that are separate structures. They're not attached to the house because years ago, they actually used to believe that cars were dangerous and could sort of catch on fire or explode, right? So they used to put their garages separate from the house. And some cities even had requirements the garage had to be a certain distance from the house, right? So in this day and age, a detached garage isn't quite as practical. If we're using a garage, we like it to be attached to the house so you can go directly into your house without getting rained on or whatever it is. So a lot of people have garages that aren't super practical anyway for parking, which is one reason they don't use them. So in that case, you're probably not impacting your resale value too much. But I mean, one thing to keep in mind, like with any renovation, if you're doing something super specific, it could impact your resale value if it's something that can't be undone when you're selling. So if you're doing that and you're worried about your resale value, you want to make sure that it's something that will sort of appeal to a lot of different people. One of the folks I spoke to, he really loves cycling. And so he created what they call a bike lounge in his garage. And this is a space where he stores all his bikes and he also has some really cool furniture and they have friends over and, you know, before and after rides and they can have dinner and all kinds of cool stuff in there. But what's great about this space is it's not so specific that the next owner couldn't use it for something else, right? They could use it for whatever they want, like a home office, that kind of thing. So you just want to be careful that you're not making something that someone else is going to look at and be like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with that? You want to make it usable for different purposes if someone else wants it for something else.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal Mansion reporter Candace Taylor. Candace, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.